Well, what's up, y'all, and welcome back to Next Mood Swing. If this is your first time here, make sure you guys hit that like and subscribe button. My name is Jesse. I'm going to be taking you on this journey with me. This week's been crazy. Between filming this, the series with Julie called Guns Blazing, if you haven't checked that out, go catch up on that. Work, and then on top of it, my dad ended up hurting himself and had to have a pretty big surgery. So this week's just kind of been all over the place for me. So I appreciate y'all patience last Sunday with the episode. But all that in saying, I got good feedback from doing the Mood Swing Mantra, and I did get a comment that had said to do them at the beginning of the episodes, but I think I'm going to do them at the end of the episodes. So that way it can kind of be a reflection of the conversation, as well as just kind of like a nice little mood swing on out of here. Today's guest is Drea Renee. I met Drea back in my AfterBuzz days. We came up in the hosting world together. She is a ray of sunshine. She has a podcast called Hey Babe, Can We Talk? She had me as a guest where she, again, made me feel really comfortable to be able to share my past, my story, and I'm appreciative of that. So I wanted to bring her on here to talk love, dating, the mishaps of online dating, and all those things. I would love to know some of the conversations that we have, what you guys think, if you've had any crazy experiences or positive tricks that you've learned throughout dating or being in relationships. So once again, make sure you guys hit that like and subscribe button and enjoy the episode.
Now you ask that. Nobody's ever asked.
Well, you girl, you know, I'm a host. So I was like, what's your process? What you doing? What are we doing?
My process is we're just going to jump into it because...
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, because obviously doing your podcast, and like I said, that was the first time I've ever talked about my story.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of the theme of your podcast, like with relationships and kind of like you talk about like, I've been through it.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go through it.
Right.
So where did that kind of... where did that stem for you? Like, what made you be like, this is what I want my niche to kind of be?
I think it's, well, I know it started because I felt like there was nothing out there that I really related to. Like, mm-hmm. There's obviously tons of content, but content where people like really get in the nitty gritty and also talk about it from a place where it's like, man, I've really messed up. And not just giving advice, but being like, I messed up too. I've done these really embarrassing things. And when I was telling people the content that I wanted to put out, they were like, Drea, like, people are going to think you're crazy. And I was like, so?
Okay. Very good.
Oh, well. Because I want people to know I am who I am. And I don't operate like other people do. Like, my brain is not the same. And I know that. And there are places for me to go and talk about that stuff. But those programs are private and it's anonymous and not everybody wants to be exposed. So I was like, man, I would love to see someone talking about this stuff so I could help other people. So that's really where it came from.
Well, and it's so funny you say that too, because I feel like my biggest thing with me starting was like, in my life, you know, as a Virgo, it's mm-hmm. like we're always helping people. Like,
always.
How can I be of service? How can I help?
Yeah.
Or even not even, like, it's like sometimes you just are naturally doing it. But it was like, okay, I went through these traumatic experiences and I understand the lessons. We talked about therapy, but also it's like, I don't want to just start a podcast. And like, everyone has a podcast.
Everyone has a podcast.
Everyone's the guru.
Yes.
And that's my biggest thing is like, I don't want to claim I'm a guru.
Nope.
I want to sit with gurus.
Yeah.
I want the gurus to teach me so that, you know, my viewers can learn through, we can all learn together.
Exactly.
And I loved like your whole intro that you did. No, because I think it's, again, it's this humbling, and we live in this day and age with TikTok where it's like, that's what people want to connect with.
Yeah.
They want to feel like you're not telling them how to be better.
No.
You're showing them like, hey, let's do it together.
That's why I say I'm a relationship survivor, because I'm like, I've done so many things wrong. And some of the stuff I've done is embarrassing. It's created a lot of shame, but I'm trying to bring humor and make it informative at the same time. Like, hey, yeah, I called him 86 times. I did. It's okay. He stayed with me, to be fair. But, you know, like, let's not do that now. Like, let's find our self-worth. Let's find our integrity and do something else. Like, call him 50 times.
And grow.
Yeah.
Wait, okay, so I always like to do this when it comes to dating or conversations and my friends. Like,
okay.
What is your idea of, like, the talking stage, dating and then a relationship? Like, do you have boundaries as far as like the timing of that? Like, what's your, like, what is talking to you?
Okay. So in the past, I've not had any boundaries, which is why I have my podcast. So I had to learn what I'm like, what are boundaries? Okay. So talking to me is like, if you're online dating, right? And you guys are exchanging messages, you're going on dates. Maybe it's like the first 2-3 dates. You're still in that like, yeah, me too. That phase. That's okay. The talking phase. But then like after date 4, 5, 6, and then it's like, are we still on Hinge? Doesn't necessarily mean that we're exclusive, but it's like, are
dating.
Yeah. Now we're dating, right? We're just trying to hang out with each other. And then after that, maybe like a month, then we start talking about, are we boyfriend and girlfriend? Maybe 2 months. It just depends. But sometimes you meet somebody, you just want to go fast.
Period. I mean, girl.
You know, sometimes you want to go fast, but I got to go slow. So that's kind of, to me, the talking part is really like that beginning stage where people are still putting their feelers out with other things, you know?
Okay. So dating, is it like, what it would you, if you found out they were dating multiple people, like, or maybe there's, you know, I mean, you went on a couple dates, you guys have been talking.
Yes.
Now it's been, let's say, 2 weeks. Are you also someone who's like, are you guys texting every day?
This is what I was going to say, because I think this guy said this to me once. He goes, before we met, he was like, I didn't text you every day on purpose, because it does create depth, and then there's expectations. And I know people are like, oh, don't have expectations. But if you're getting good morning every day, you're getting all these things, it does start to create this connection. But if there's like a day or two in between and you do create that boundary, or they take 2 or 3 hours to respond, you're like, okay, this is not my man.
Okay.
Like, we're not doing that. But if we're dating and you're texting me back, you're talking to me at nighttime, saying goodnight, telling me what you're doing during the day, then I'm like, okay, we're creating this next step where we are dating.
Okay, so that's interesting too, because like, I feel like, one, dating before COVID versus after COVID, but also social media. Like, social media to me, like, I had never used a dating app. Like, I mean—
Really?
Okay, well— Before COVID. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like been on Grindr and that kind of stuff. But like, as far as like a Bumble or Hinge, no.
Yeah.
So I downloaded it and—
This is before COVID or after?
After COVID.
Okay.
And I just remember being on there and you're like swiping. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, I don't
so
even
weird.
Know these people. It's like complete judgment. What if that person was a nice person? What if that person
was,
you know what I mean? Like, and you're almost training yourself like, nah. And I'm like, these are human beings.
Yeah.
Like, I'm probably overthinking it, but like—
that, shocker, that's what we do.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, okay, do you feel like with online dating, it's created this numbness in people as far as like communicating with each other?
Yeah.
And like, what has your experience been with
that? I think it's made everyone think that people are just disposable, like you're saying. Like, it doesn't matter. I think there's a lot more people jumping out of things because they're like, oh, you don't want to do what I want to do? Fine, I'm just going to keep swiping. Or I think there's an addiction to swiping as well, even people in relationships, because they just want to see, they want to be stimulated. And so I do think we're losing that human connection, as you're talking about, because even when you're on a date, people can still treat you like they're not even like seeing you.
Right.
They're just like, maybe you go to the bathroom and they're still like swiping. That happened to me.
Wait, you've been on a date and they were on their phone?
I came back and like, where I was walking back, I could see he was on his phone, right? Like, we were sitting in a booth. So he's on this side, I'm on this side, I'm walking back from the bathroom. This mug is sitting there going, and I'm like, damn. Okay. And we hadn't even got the appetizer yet. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to check out too. Let me see who my message is.
Oh. Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, to them, it, like, to a lot of people, not them, but to a lot of people, it's like, oh, I was just scrolling on my phone. Like, it's almost another part of them.
It's like being on Instagram too. It's the same thing. It's just mindless.
Yeah.
And it may not even mean anything. People just want to see. But to me, we lose that human connection of like, I'm actually on a date in real time right now. Like, this can wait till after.
And also, like, another thing with that is, now I see that how into your phone you are.
Yeah.
So now it's like, if you don't respond or you're not, or a pattern becomes broken, it's like, well, I know you on your phone.
Exactly.
I don't need to see you post on Instagram or nothing, like, because the way you was on your phone on that date.
But that's what people always forget. Those pattern changes in the beginning to like the midsection to like the end of the relationship. It's like, if you're texting me good morning every single day, and then a couple weeks in, it's a good afternoon. And then, you know, a couple more weeks in, you're like, oh, sorry, I was busy, you know, crazy day.
We're going backwards.
But when you're in the beginning, in the morning, when you woke up, that was the first thing you thought about. Let me throw in a text real quick. Good morning. You know,
so it almost makes you think like, am I on a roster?
Yes.
Like, am I a part? Did you like put this in your schedule? Are you scheduling this? Like, and now you're realizing like, oh, my days aren't as free as I thought. Like,
right.
This becomes, it's almost like social media has created too much accessibility and that numbness to disposing. Right?
Yeah.
So like, what was a moment for you where you kind of in your dating life where you realize like, okay, I need to switch some things up? Was it the type of guys you were dating? Was it like you said, you know, you notice you were rushing into things? What was did you have like an aha moment?
I think my biggest aha moment was learning that chemistry and compatibility are completely different things. So I meet a guy, they're completely different. I can be sexually attracted to someone and, you know, my body's doing things and his body's doing things. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I used to think that this was the connection. Oh my God, like I've met someone and we talked all night and all these things, not asking about values, not asking about what you want in the future, not figuring out how does he treat his mom? How does he show up for his friends? You know, what does he like to do? It's just like, ooh, we're attracted. We had a great makeout. I have a boyfriend. And then sort of taking a moment to really get to know them beyond even just a week or 2 weeks, but like just being stimulated by that physical part. So really taking a pause now and being like, ooh, okay, so I am attracted to you. That's just like the bare minimum. Great. Done. Now let's talk about your values. What do you like to do? What gets you excited? Are you excited for me? Are you going to be a cheerleader for me? Do you respect me? What is your conflict resolution like? That is the most important question. How do you fight?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. Like all these other things like that are going on are great, but
can you communicate?
And that's at the end of it. But I wasn't thinking about any of that. I was like, the guy's cute. He called me back and this is my boyfriend.
Yeah. No, but I
like, you know what I mean? No. That's it.
And here's the thing too, because like I do wonder, I always just go, I Virgo out with you.
I know,
but
I
like, because it's almost like, you know, you do notice certain things with horoscopes and stuff like that. So I'm always curious. I don't have a lot of Virgo friends, but like for me, I grew up, I think we actually talked about this, but my sexuality caused me to learn how to live within myself. By doing that, I had to create this blanket of love as a child, this fantasy of like how to be, because I wasn't dating in high school because it was like, I never wanted to date a girl because it was like, I know I'm gay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to like hurt a girl.
Right.
To make my parents happy that I'm like dating somebody. So I always kind of had that mentality for myself. And then I noticed as I got older and it was like, okay, now I'm in the world of dating. I was always chasing after this like idea of what I thought love is. And I think it's like kind of like what you said, like it's like, well, we had this instant spark. I've never felt that before, because I'm also not somebody who, and my friends have been like, Jesse, you need to have one night stands. And I'm like,
oh,
no, because here's the,
not that girl.
And again, I don't know if it's the Virgo in me or what. The idea of it is great.
Yeah, attachment. Great.
No attachment. I get to release.
Do what I need get to do.
And not have to deal with this person after. Mm-hmm. Great. But you know who you have to deal with after? Yourself.
And this.
Yes. And it's like, ew, gross. So they're going to come over my house. Now this person knows where my house is.
Right.
I have to go into your house. Like, and then we're in the new world. Like, do you have cameras? Are you
exactly
clean?
Exactly.
Like, because I could think someone is the hottest thing. Then you go over and you see stains on the bathroom.
Exactly.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, and it's like,
and then it's the post ejaculation clarity or the post nut clarity. Yeah. That's the thing where you like, you did it and then you look over and you're like, what is going on? But your brain just all of a sudden is clear and you're like, so that's what I had to learn. Because once those moments happen, right, we get physical and I take a moment to get physical, but I'm still running off that chemical adrenaline.
Right.
And I'm not really listening and letting things land of like, ooh, that was weird that he said that.
Yeah.
This is actually not somebody that could actually be my partner. We just have physical chemistry. This isn't a relationship. Mm-hmm. So that was my biggest moment for myself where I'm like, I need to slow down and really get to know people. And I know that sounds simple, but I think
explain what your first experience was with slowing down and like
it's
how
hard.
Paranoid you got, like, or going back and forth. Do I text them? Do I wait to text them?
That's literally it. So when I, because the thing is, you can have the information, but applying it and doing it is a whole other thing.
Right.
And so when that moment comes up and the universe is like, here, there you go, this is your test. I'm like, oh God, I forgot all the answers. I forgot everything, you know? And I'm like, Drea, do not do anything, because I'm a doer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, any guy that I've ever liked has never wondered if I like them. They're always clear. They're like, Drea likes me. The focus is like, so pulling that energy back and just being like, let him come to me
yeah.
a little bit. Let him be excited about me. And it's not to say like the man has to do everything, but like my growth is in chilling mm-hmm. right now. And so if I don't hear from him all day, okay.
Noted.
And it's in the list. Okay. It's in the list. But like, I'm always like, how's your day? What's going on? Do. And I said, well, let me just pull back. So it was very scary because I didn't want the person to think I didn't like them,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I had to think about those moments when a guy really does like me. He's interested and he's putting energy out and he's making plans and he's doing the thing. And I'm not confused. I don't need to wonder. So I'm like, anybody that's making me feel confused, yeah. wondering, like, you got to go. And even if I do have that physical stuff, I'm grown enough now to be like, this is not sustainable. And this doesn't mean we're going to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
Like my vagina might want to be in a relationship, but this needs to find out if it wants to be in a relationship. So my first time going through that, it was a little messy. And I kind of did some things it wasn't perfect, but I would pull back very quickly. But I did. I was like, let me just see how his day's doing. It's fine. You know, and then he'd respond and it'd be okay. Then I'm like, I'm only going to respond if he asks me a question. So I had to set boundaries for myself.
So did you notice that there was some sort of pattern or like, because like for me, I feel like through the years and therapy,
mm-hmm.
now it's more like in the first initial kind of conversations, I can kind of get the
yes.
hint. Because also you do a lot of hosting, right? So
yeah.
it's like, I know my biggest thing has always been as a host or, you know, interviewing people. It's like, how many people want to be interviewed? And it's like, I know how to talk about myself, but like, are you going to ask me anything about? And that was a big thing I had to learn was like,
right?
Am I giving information out or are you asking for the information? You know what? I'm not going to ask for the
yeah.
information anymore. We can sit here and interview you. I mean, that's fine.
That's fine.
But was that a problem with you specifically that you?
Yeah. Like learning that I want to get to know somebody, but I'm like, are they trying to get to know me? I've gone on dates where people didn't ask me anything. And then I had to ask myself too. I'm like, okay, I know I'm very hosty interviewee.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let me chill and not say anything. And if this person asks me anything, to me, it would seem natural to be like, how many brothers and sisters do you have? And then, oh, well, how many do you have? This mug was just like, so anyway, when I was six, my dad, and I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, and then at the end of the day, he's like, I had the best time ever. I'm like, you had a whole fucking monologue. Like, what do you mean? I wasn't even here. You just talked about your whole, like, you should pay me for therapy. And my Sephora bill, because we're never hanging out again for my makeup. But I did realize I say things at times and I will give information when you do ask me one question because I am a host. So you ask me one thing and I'm going to just go off.
Right.
You know,
because that's the thing is like you're trained to talk to people. We know how to talk to
yes.
people. We know how to go deeper than a surface level conversation.
Yeah.
And you realize how many people
do not have that.
Range.
They do
and
not.
It's a larger scale than you would think. And I've had to learn how to tone myself back as far as like, so what's the weather like in Texas? Like, or whatever the conversation is about versus like,
yeah.
so like, is there a car? You know, like,
I mean, let's go deep. Quantum physics on the
okay,
first date.
Okay, not first date. But like, okay, what is a first date ick? Like, what is something that like initial first date, like if you do this,
you're done.
Bye.
Make me pay for the date.
Oh.
One, that's an ick. If you ask me out and then you look in when the check comes, or even if you do pay for the date and then you looking at me to see, like you need me to do the fake purse grab. Like if you need me to do that, because I've had guys do that, like the bill comes, they're like, and I'm like, what are you looking at?
Okay. Now I have heard, then this is real dumb, but it's like, I've heard this argument of like, well,
what?
Feminism and like,
uh-huh.
you know, girls want to be equal. And it's
who said,
like,
who said that? Who said that?
Well, no, I was just saying, like, I know that that's a conversation.
That is a conversation.
That men are out here using
right now. They are yelling it loudly right now. They're like, girl, get your card out. Let's split this bill. Because you said, I'm like, oh, no, baby doll. I didn't say that. No, I didn't say it.
I'm all for girl power, but.
I'm all for it. But I call myself a medicinal woman. It's a modern and traditional. I know it sounds funny, but it's like, I will do things for you, be the domesticated woman, all the things. Just don't come in the house talking about, like, you better do it. Don't come at me like that. Okay. Because I've worked very hard and I'm super independent, but I don't want to do it all by myself. Like, I'm not trying to do that.
So like, relationship wise, like, yeah. You know, we live in the day of the city girls.
We do.
What is your, like, what's your goal? Like, do you want to be a stay-at-home mom? Do you want to have your own career? He has his career.
Yeah.
We're just like taking Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Right.
Like, what's your, like...
Ideally, yeah, I'm trying to be the boss and he's the boss and we're doing the thing. I'm never going to be one of those women that doesn't work. Even if my man is like...
You don't want to be a kept woman.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm not trying to be kept.
Well, like...
I don't mind.
Yeah, but you still want to be able to keep on doing you.
I'm going to keep on doing me. But I would love it if it's like, yo, do what you got to do. Work, don't work. I don't really care.
Okay.
You live, you do you. But we're good. Like, that would be nice, right?
Yeah.
But I just, my personality, I'm not going to sit at home and, you know, to be in the kitchen. And there's nothing wrong with that. There
right.
are plenty of people who like that. I'm not saying it wouldn't be in the kitchen. I'm just not just going to just be in the kitchen.
No. Drain your energy. You can't sit your ass down.
I can't. He's like, sit at home. I'm like, I got to go do something, you know?
Okay, you're talking to a guy online,
mm-hmm.
making that decision of like, all right, I'm going to go on the date, but also like... There are many times where you're like, okay, the conversation's been good, but yeah, we're not going on a date.
I think,
Like, how do you navigate that?
I will be completely
transitioned.
Honest. There was a space where I was just open.
Oh?
I was like, I'm going to go out. Because like you said earlier, we're judging people based on pictures.
Sure.
So I was like, let me go outside of my comfort zone. Let me tell you, I went outside my comfort zone a couple times. I'm like, I'm running the fuck back. Okay. My mom was like, you got to be open. I said, okay, I'll be open. Then I think I went too open.
And slammed that door shut.
Slammed it real shut. I got in the car. I was like, never again. Never again. Wait, and so.
Wait, what was it? What was one experience that like horrified you that you was like, oh, hell no.
Well, he was overweight.
Okay.
Okay. He was a bigger guy.
Than what he showed you?
Yes. Then so, what? He was already bigger on the photos.
Okay.
Right. But he was so nice. He was like really nice. I was like, you know what? Let me give him a little try.
All right.
He's missing his hair. I was like, it's okay. I'm
going to
try. You know, exactly. I'm going to go outside my comfort zone. And then he showed up about with a couple 40 extra LBs. And I was like, what? Where were these pictures from? And I just couldn't even do it. He knew. He showed up and I was like,
oh,
yeah. So we got like an appetizer and he's like, do you want to go? And I was like, I want to go. I do. No. I felt bad, but I was like, buddy, like, it's not fair.
Yeah,
to
no.
me.
And honestly, I love that because that was one of the questions I was going to ask. Like, sometimes I feel like people lead people on.
Yes.
Because it's like, well, I don't want to be mean or I don't want to this. And it's like, it's better to be right up front versus leaving it in a question mark because some people get it and some people do not get
right.
it. And it's like, I've exactly the same way. Like, it's like, well, look, I know we said we was going to do dinner and a movie.
No.
We're going to end after this dinner.
Yeah.
And like, you're great. But.
You're great for somebody else.
What's that? SpongeBob? I'm going to head up out of here.
I'm going to head up. But I will say I have been the question mark girl because I didn't want to hurt people's feelings. And I was in this people pleasing stage.
Oh,
so
same.
I've definitely left. Like, yeah,
full-on relationship.
Same.
Situation.
Same. Let's connect next week. And then I get bored and I'm like, sure, let's just go to coffee. And this one guy, he was just talking like we were already in this relationship. And I was like, damn, what am I going to do? Like, I do not want anything to do with this guy. We never had sex, anything. He's talking about the future. And all this stuff. So, you know, I had to learn to send these texts and learn that everybody's going to be okay. My therapist was like, Drea, you don't have that much power. People are going to be fine. So I sent the text and he was like, great, thanks for letting me know. And I was like, oh, okay. That's totally fine.
So that's interesting. With your therapist, like, what do you feel like that stems from that? You know who you are as a woman. You're a strong woman. So it's like, where does that fear of... I don't want to hurt the guy, so I'm going to, like, almost allow myself to get walked over. Like, have you ever thought about where that stems from?
Yeah, it's definitely childhood stuff. I think trying to manage everything, make sure everybody's okay. I'm the oldest child. You know, my parents had me young. So I think there's something in there of wanting to, because it was a bit chaotic in my childhood. So how do I keep everything calm? How do I make sure everybody's okay? Which has led definitely to people pleasing and just wanting to not hurt anyone's feelings and make sure everybody's okay at the expense of me.
Right.
And I've done that for so long, and standing up for Drea and really trying to help Drea has been like this newer thing in my life, to be honest, because all these things I was, or I still am, or have been looking for in a relationship, you know, this guy said to me, he was like, do you do those things for yourself? Yeah. And I was like, ooh.
This guy, like a guy you were talking to?
No. Relationship expert. No. Relationship expert guy told this to me. Drew, actually. Okay. Yeah. When I met Drew, and I was like, dang, that's such great advice. Because he's like, everything you want to give out and everything you're doing for people, you got to start doing that stuff for yourself. And I was like, yeah, that's good. That's good.
What's your go-to convo online or on a first date?
I mean, I do the basic stuff. Where are you from? But I think doing the podcast opens up so many doors in terms of talking to them directly about how they are in a relationship. And one of the things I always ask dates are, what is your but? So if you put all your ex-boyfriends in a room, they'd be like, Jesse is so great, but. Ooh. And if there's anything consistent that you hear, because it's a self-awareness question. And so if guys go, I don't really know what my but is. Like, I mean, I don't really know what they would say. I'm like, because I know for me, the things that men have said to me over time where I had to be like, damn, this is like the third guy saying this to me.
What's your but?
Well, it used to be I was a little needy. I'm emotionally needy. Or that I need to relax. They're like, Drea, you need to relax. And my need to be right.
Yeah, I get that one.
Yeah.
I also get that my butt would be, I'm blunt.
I'm very almost,
which is crazy because I'm the empathetic one in the relationship.
Right.
And they've all known that. But it's always like, it's the way you say something things. That's like, because you know it's probably right. Like,
right. And that's what I do. I'm like, but it's correct.
And I think it stems from a place of like, I can rip myself apart. I can analyze myself and I'm constantly chipping at it.
Chipping.
So that's why it's going to take a special somebody to be like, look, because I want to receive it as well.
Yeah.
Like, please tell me what is wrong.
Right.
How I can be better. Help me be better.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like Tauruses, we work out very well with Tauruses. Friendship.
It's so true.
Like, I've never dated a Taurus.
I've dated a Taurus. It's okay. My two longest relationships. Mm. Because I really realized for me, I'm so spazzy, high energy. I really need a person who's like, babe, let's just take a breath. Everything's fine. Like we can, you know, you can do this later. And I'm like, okay. Like, if I have another person that's matching my energy, like, we're going to just, like, explode together. Yeah.
So, you said you're growing up, it was a little chaotic. Like, did you grow up with two parents or?
My parents divorced when I was 7. So, they were basically together up until then. There was, like, a little bit of back and forth. But, I mean, I kind of didn't really know what was going on. Because they were, like, my mom was 18.
Okay.
My dad was 18. So, it's like, they grew up with me, you know?
Right.
So I think you don't really know what you're doing at that age. You're not learning. You don't know how to communicate. You don't know how to articulate your feelings to another person. And you have a child.
Yeah.
And then you have another child in the way. It's a lot. So.
And then how did you kind of deal with like them dating new people? And like, did that ever affect your dating?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, my dad was like not around for most of my younger life. And I mean, we have a good relationship now, but there were definitely some difficult moments. And I've talked about that before. But yeah, dating new people, you know, again, my parents being so young, 20s, dating, you know, not the greatest people all the time. And I think I definitely have emulated some of those choices that they made. And I don't want to blame them anymore because like I'm a grown woman, but you know, it's seed planting. And I think a lot of parents don't always realize like we're taking in everything that you're doing. And when they're coming at me about my dating choices, I used to just be like, well, this is your fault. This is your fault, Dad, because I have abandonment issues and you left and da-da-da-da-da. And now I take responsibility for that. But it's still hard because dating those unavailable men, which is what I talk about a lot on my podcast, like the energy is familiar.
Mm.
It's not right or okay, but it makes sense. And these beliefs.
So it's almost like why you feel or at one point felt comfortable in.
Yes.
That.
And look, to be honest with you, it's still something that I struggle with because like when someone sits down and they're like, Drea, I am here for you. I love you. I am showing up for you. I'm like, I gotta go. You're like, yeah, I gotta call it Uber. I can't do this. Or my brain goes, why? What? You know what I mean? And it's so crazy because I'm still learning to love myself.
Yeah.
And I've gotten so much better. And I look at myself in the mirror now and I'm like, okay, queen. But it's still like a work in progress. So different men are showing up in my life now, like way different than they used to. Because you mirror what you are. And that was such a hard thing for me to accept because I was like, am I unavailable? I mean, I must be because I'm attracting these men who are like, I don't want a relationship, but we could hang out. And I'm like, oh, okay. But I had to realize I wasn't available for myself and I wasn't really ready. Because to be in a relationship, if you are in a real healthy relationship with someone that's willing to go through the things with you, it can be scary.
Yeah.
You're both taking a risk to say, hey, we're going to do life together.
Yeah.
That is not for everybody. Everybody thinks they're ready for that. But
well, that's it's so funny too, because I feel like people be like, oh, because I always ask a question about the parent, because I think it's so interesting that my parents have, I think this is actually, we're going into their 50th anniversary.
Oh, my.
Yes. So my example was them. Like we had one divorce in our whole family.
Are you serious?
A big thing. Oh, the Greeks don't.
Oh, right. Of course.
So it was like a big thing that like my aunt divorced my uncle.
Yeah.
Like it was, you know, unheard of. So, but growing up, so I had this idea of what love was on top of like you're watching Disney movies.
All
and
the
like,
things.
Yeah. It's like, well, it is, you always get to the happily ever after. It's like, well, what happens after they finally are like, okay, we're going to do
it.
And then it's just like, we're done showing you that.
Where's the part two?
And you're like, well, nobody lives in that bliss. You know, and I see the work that my parents put into a relationship. And then you go out into the world and you're like, oh, everyone's like this. And you realize,
No,
most people are actually dating because they are trying to fill something within themselves.
Mm-hmm,
and the thing with, I look at like my parents, they were two whole people who were like, okay, we get what life is for us, for them. And they're both agreed like, hey, life is about, let's start a family and we're going to give everything to that family.
Mm-hmm.
So their beliefs were the same. They had the same belief system.
See, the values and the beliefs.
So it's like, even if they still have their romance, but the thing that trumps and pushes now is the family unit that they've created.
Right.
And it's like, it's really, so me as a gay man trying to apply that in life, it's like, maybe they ain't on Grindr or Adam.
No.
Trying to really like connect.
No.
It looks like a demon on purpose. The app looks like a demon on purpose.
But that's what I'm saying. Because it's like, if you, once you take all that away, the butterflies, the shininess, and when you're left with the character of a person, I think our generation does not realize after a certain age, what is so important. We get so caught up in like, getting the vagina tingles and like doing the thing and whatever. And then like,
how much was the bracelet he got me? How much?
Exactly. Versus like, who is this person that I'm saying I'm going to spend my life with? Like once all, and how do they treat me when they don't like me?
Mm.
When they're having a bad day, when they're angry, like that is where your relationship is. And I really think that in our time now, people really need to take a moment and think about the bigger picture of a relationship versus like, what can we post on Instagram? This where he took me for this fancy meal. But it's like, what does this man believe? What are his values? Do you even know?
Right. Is this relationship driven by sex? I saw this quote.
Yeah.
And it was like,
been there.
Same, and I called it love.
Okay.
I saw this post and it was like, everyone can have a good time with someone. Marry the one you can have a bad time with. And I was like,
that just gave me goosebumps.
Oh, I'll send it to you. I was on Instagram. I saved it.
I love it.
That's so true.
Damn.
It's, like, it's those bad moments that like, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to figure this out together? Because it's like, if I'm going through a bad moment, I'm going to figure it out on myself.
You know how we are.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if you're not adding to this, like, I don't need extra weight at this point. You know?
Yeah.
Compromising in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
How have you... in this newfound Drea, what are compromises that you have kind of said to yourself, like, okay, this is something I am willing to, you know, give up or move around, or I'm willing to accept from somebody else? What's that journey of compromising life?
The compromise journey for me is still a work in progress because I'm in this stage right now where I'm ready to be in a relationship, right? But again, it is scary because I have a life for myself where I have pillars that are so important to me. And when you bring another person in, especially in the beginning, you know, you kind of like things that are important to you kind of go on the back burner. I'm like, podcast? What podcast? I gotta go. My man is here. You know, I'm like, career? What career? I'm having a baby. But I think as far as like my career and what I want to do, I'm not willing to compromise on that. Like, I'm a creative and that's one of my pillars. I have to be creative or I get really depressed.
Okay.
Like working out, gotta work out. And I need a good community around me. Those are really important things to me. So I need someone that understands that. Now, I'm still figuring this out, but like the coinage that a man comes with, like, does he have children? Does his mom live with him? You know, like all these different things. I'm like, are these things I'm willing to like work with? The baby mama drama.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm of a particular age where men are going to have kids.
Right.
And that's fine. But for love, I will do anything. I mean, at the end of the day, once my heart is open, okay, and I'm there for you, like usually in relationships, I'm doing all the compromising. It's always me compromising. Okay, yeah, I'll go there. Okay, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I don't got to go to work.
I'll pick you up.
Anywhere.
You want to use my car? I'll drive.
You put gas in it? That's okay. It's okay. I'll put the gas in it. No, you don't worry. Don't do anything. And so now I'm like, no, you're not. What do you use your own car? Like,
right.
What is happening? I don't want anybody that needs to use my car. Like, that's not even, person's not even come to me. So now I feel more alive and in faith of who I am and secure in that. So if a person comes in, I have my values and what I believe. And then there's a couple things where I'm like, because no one's going to check everything on your list.
Right.
They're just not.
Yep.
So it's like, maybe there's a crazy baby mama, but he's like, Drea, I got this. You don't worry about it. And I'm like, okay, because I was like, okay, I know. I'm sorry.
We grown now.
Okay, but for my man. But I think it's so important that I am careful with who I open my heart to. And that has been the biggest lesson because this thing was open for anybody and everybody.
Girl.
You hold my hand, I'm like, I love you. He's like, what? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. No? Okay. You know?
Yeah.
So now I'm like, if I'm going to open this door to you, I need to know what is going on. And it's not a perfect thing. Like, you're never going to really know until you know.
Right.
You got to go through some stuff with people, right? Like those bad times. But having a good base of who a person is in the beginning is so important, I think.
Yeah. And I think, too, it's like, my biggest thing was like trusting people. My parents, very, I always say, Greek immigrant mindset. Like, they grew up, my whole family grew up living around each other. Like, I grew up, it would be my grandmother's parents' house, my uncle's house next door, my aunt's house. Like, it was just like,
yeah,
family all the time. So you have this like, almost like a false sense of community, because if you're raised in that and you assume like, oh, this is what it's like, life.
Right.
And then you go out into the real world.
Los Angeles.
Mine was New York at first.
Oh, okay.
But still East Coast. And I appreciate the East Coast because I feel like it is more upfront
in
feeling
so.
The vibe.
Yes.
But I am a very trust. I was going into life saying, yeah, whatever your story is, like, okay, I believe you because I'm telling you my story. Like,
right.
And then you start realizing like, okay, then you're in a whole relationship with someone. It's like 2 years later, you learn who this person actually is. And it's like, well, what the hell were you doing for the
first time? Yeah. Yeah.
And it's almost like then now I've learned, I feel like my mindset is more like, I don't know if I can just jump into like the open dating and like checking guys off and like all that. Like, it's like, I need to know you for a moment of time.
A moment.
Like, I need to know what you're like as a friend. I want to know what you're like to your friends.
Yeah.
I want to know like, if time goes by, like, do you still, are you thinking about me after a while? Are you on to the next? Because you really like, I did it two guys and it was literally, I feel like, look, if you don't learn the first message.
Universe lesson. Like, oh, okay, so I got some for you.
and this one gonna come along?
Yes, for real.
And it was that. It was that first year was great. And then that second year was like, bitch, what the heck? Are you on medication?
Know.
Are you not taking some? Or what? So really learning to build trust with, and I think that's also with trusting yourself and learning that discernment and catching, like on your show, we did the red flags, catching those little red flags that, you know, and seeing like, am I really sweeping stuff under the rug?
Yep.
Or am I not, am I with the rose colored glasses, just thinking like, okay.
And you feel it too, like you get little buzzes. And something else that I'm really cognizant of now is that, especially as I get older, people know how to manipulate. So they can sit there and be like, I'm listening to you. Oh my God, I care about everything you're saying, and just want what they want.
Yeah.
Everybody can put it on for a little bit of time. And then the mask starts coming off when they're like tired and all those things that were so cute and funny, because I know I'm a spaz and I need a man with some patience. And so all the things like, oh wow, she's really forgetful. Oh wow, she's late again. I'm like, and then the real person starts coming out, you know?
Yep.
So being aware of like, yeah, he can be nice to you for 3 weeks, Drea. Yeah, that doesn't mean anything, or a month even. But over time, you have to really give it that space to learn, can I trust them?
Yep. Ooh, okay.
Can I trust him? Ooh.
I love that, because how did you learn to trust yourself? Like, as far as like, let's just take dating out of it, just mm-hmm. with people. Like,
yeah.
Is this something like not only in dating that friendships you noticed, or maybe even family relationships?
Yeah.
Like, is that just like kind of a theme that you had to work through, or do you have better discernment with friendships? I know some people that like, they have great friendships, but every man they be picking.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, unfortunately, it's crossed over into everything for me. Like, I've had some really strange friendships. I've had friendships where I've asked myself, are you okay, Drea? I had to step out. Are you well? Like, why are you friends with this person? Or I get in the car and I'm completely depleted.
Mm.
So I've learned with my friendships that if I'm talking with you and I'm in my head the whole time having to censor myself and not say this and say that, I'm like, this is not my person.
Yes.
And we live in LA, and look, you're going to have acquaintances. That word friend, I've learned, is so different. Just because I work with someone does not mean that they're my friend.
Girl.
Just because I see you because your brain starts to think like, and just like with dating, oh, we spent time together for a week every single day.
It's like, that's a work friend.
That's a work friend. I had to change a girl's name in my phone once to a work friend, so I wouldn't forget. I was like, this is not my friend.
No, yeah. And it's like, even till, like for me, I've had to take responsibility in that
too,
because it's like, okay, why am I getting so... Why do I feel some sort of way? I don't want to feel no type of way about this, because it's like, yeah, we saw each other every day because we were working with each other.
We're working.
And I still can support you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But it's like, I had to, yeah, build. I have this thing with my therapist I came up with called my spice rack.
Mm.
And it's like learning how to place people on different shelves. It's like, you know what I mean? You have your spices that you use all the time.
Right.
Those go on your first shelf.
Yeah.
And then you have certain friends or people that maybe you only go out with and have party with, or go to concerts with. Those go on the second shelf.
Right.
And then that third shelf is like a, hey.
Yeah. My girlfriend told me about tier system. So it's basically the same thing. She goes, Drea, when you talk to people, you have to know what tier this person goes in, because I am an overshare. I will tell you everything.
That's why
you start telling me, you know what? Because I love to talk. Because sometimes I get off my own podcast and I'm like, what did I need to say all that? I don't know why I said all that. Well, hold on, whatever. It's going out. You know what I mean? It is what it is. But I definitely have to watch. And just because somebody's telling me all their stuff does not mean I have to tell them all my stuff.
No. Okay, but let me ask you, as a Virgo. Are you someone who... I feel like we were talking about the guru thing. Like,
yeah.
I tend to notice with myself, if someone's like going through something or, you know, instead of me giving them advice, I almost share a story of myself, because it's like, I don't know how to give you an answer, but here's
what happened to me.
And I don't want to speak on something I don't really know, but I know myself. So
yes,
is that
that always happens. I'm like, oh my God. So this guy that I dated 20 years ago, or whatever it is. And then, but I expose so much I don't know these people.
Yeah.
And they don't need to know, even on dates too. You know, I definitely overshared about exes, and they start talking about their ex, and then I talk about my ex, and I'm like, I don't think that's a great connection point.
Okay. So like, but when do you start talking about exes? Like when?
I haven't learned that one yet. I still do it. I still do it. I do it on first date. I'm like, yes, my ex seems like really crazy. And I'm sorry, what did you say? You know, I haven't learned that one yet.
No, me either, honestly.
I do it. I still do it.
I feel like it was such a big, for me, like, and we talked about on your podcast, like a big thing in my life that affected my life in such
a way. Well, yeah, that's a tough one.
Look, I need you to know why I am like...
I think that's a different type of situation. I think that one has to be talked about. And I think there's nothing wrong with like a bullet point. No, but I think it's okay to leave like a bullet point of what's going on, or like, hey, there are some things you can talk generally. So that's like, what I need to work on.
Use the example like with like you're on a date and a guy has a baby mama, kid. When would you say is appropriate for him to share that? Or if he didn't tell you the first date?
Tell me the first date. I want to know before I meet you. Oh. Listen, I got a process with online.
Okay,
online dating. Online dating, we're chatting. I like to get to a phone call very quickly. I don't want to message somebody. I do. You know what I mean? Because people are like, you should be giving your number out. I'm like, girl, I don't care. I can block him. Who cares?
Thank you.
What is happening if I give him my phone number?
Girl, the way that number will get switched, if you are crazy.
Exactly. It's fine. Here's my number. So we'll exchange a little bit. I'll see the vibe, give you my number. Let's hear how that voice sounds. Okay. Because if you got a weird voice, goodbye. And then we move on to a FaceTime. And then I'm like, as soon as we're like, oh, no. Or, oh, yes. You know what I mean? That's my process. And then we'll go on a date.
Okay. So I want to play something for you.
Okay.
And then we're going to play a game. But I want to play this because I scrolled past this today and I was like, oh my God, the way I need to have Drea hear this.
Oh God, why?
And I just want to know your thoughts. Like, is this something where at one point you were maybe this crazy? Or
probably.
Let's not say crazy, but just
that's passionate.
It's crazy. This is crazy. Okay, all right, fine. Ready? So I found this on TikTok. Her name is Brinique Reed. She found this.
Okay.
So here we go.
Y'all need to listen to this. This is some crazy shit.
I saw this really cute guy at the grocery store the other day. So naturally, I followed him to the checkout counter. And when he gave the cashier his credit card, I peeped it to see what his name was. And then I Googled him and found his social media profiles. And I was able to tell that he was single. So I went through his friends list and I found his mother's page.
Okay. So wait, before we continue this story. Right there, okay? So
let's
see, are we still on the roller coaster with her? Like, she, you know, I'm nosy, so yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You look at a card, you see a name.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
You're attracted to this guy.
Right.
So would you have said something to him? Would you have tried to spark a conversation? Or
in real time?
Yeah.
I'm forward. Like, if I catch one eye glance, I'm like, hi. I am forward. I don't care. I'm like, hi, how are you?
Okay.
But if not, I mean, she's already lost me at the mom's Instagram.
Well, wait, before we even get to the mom's
Instagram.
So, but you're not lost at the fact that she saw the name and then looked the name up.
No, I would do that.
Same. Okay.
I would absolutely do that.
All right.
100%.
Now the story gonna go.
And then I looked through his mother's page and I saw that she was a member of this book club that's in my area. So I sent a request to join the book club. So I went to the book club meeting and I met his mom there. And we bonded over some books that we both liked. And she just thought I was so nice. And I brought it up randomly in conversation that I was single. And she let me know that she had a son that was single also that lived in the area. And maybe it would be cool for us to get together and chat sometime. So I gave her my number, which she gave to her son. And this morning he texted me and asked if I'd like to get together this weekend and do something. So I guess we're going to go on a date. I'm really excited.
She shared this on TikTok.
Okay, go ahead. Just what are your thoughts? Where does your mind go with this story? Like,
now I am all about doing something for love because there was a guy actually like 3 weeks ago that we crossed paths on Hollywood Boulevard.
Okay.
I went to go see, and I was like, he was on the phone and I was like, dang, that guy's cute. And he smiled. And I was like, so this old Drea would have been like, I got to go talk to him or I got to get figured out. But I'm waiting for men to come to me. I'm chilling, stepping back. But he just kept walking. So I was like, okay. But I did do a bunch of turnarounds.
Yeah.
And then once I got back in my car, I was like, should I circle the block and see if he's still around? But I didn't.
Okay.
But this is a lot. I'm all about doing stuff for love. But the book club thing, I would not do that.
Yeah. Like, I feel that, like,
that's where I get off.
Because it's like, at what point, like, do you not see the red flag of like, one, you put this on social media. So
number
if he
one,
ever comes across and sees that, it's like, there's almost like a little level of, well, not a little level, there's a level of distrust because it's like, you did all this and wasn't upfront with me. Now, if she goes on the date and explains it.
And explains it. But even still, it plants a seed of like, oh, okay.
But are you going to create this in our relationship? Like, if I'm like, oh, huh, I'm working 10 minutes later, like, are you going to believe that?
Yeah.
Is this going to turn into like, well, I went into his work, his boss's website, and I noticed that they closed at 4 o'clock. And it's like,
he said he was going to be home at 5 and they closed at 4. Yeah. That's where it leads. Yeah. This is some behavior. Like, there's levels to passion crazy. This is kind of a 10. This is a 10. I've lived at a 9. I've lived there. Done some crazy stuff for sure. But that's nuts. Yeah. I would not contact someone's mom. I would only keep the contact with them. Like, I would maybe like a couple photos on Instagram.
Of his.
Yes. And keep it with him. I'm not going to go try to meet his mom. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kooky.
That's next level.
Dang, okay. She posted it. What a ding-dong. Who does that?
Girl.
I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised if she's from LA.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so to wrap it up, I want to play a game.
Okay.
We're going to play Dating Edition, 2 truths. One lie. So I'm going to have you think of 2 truths and a lie, and I'm going to try to guess, and then I'm going to give you 2 truths and a lie and see if you can guess.
Okay. So I dated someone on a reality show and we had a relationship.
Okay.
I had 2 brothers ask me out in the same week.
Okay.
And I went over to someone's house for a date and he showed up naked. When he opened the door, he was naked.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I feel like those are good. Because I could see you do all of them. I feel like the naked one is the lie.
Dang it, you got it. That's the lie.
Okay.
That is the lie.
So 2 brothers?
Yeah, asked me out in the same week.
Wait, they both asked you out? Like, were they on different websites? Like,
how? It was in real life.
Oh.
Yeah. It's in the poker industry. Okay. Yeah. 2 brothers. And I was like, do you guys not know that? Okay, well, I already said yes to that one. Well, I can't say yes to you.
Okay, so you didn't...
No, I didn't. Go out. I was just like, hey, just so you know, so and so has already asked me out. So he was like, oh, come on. I was like, sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So my 2 truths and 1 lie.
Yes. What are yours?
So my ex trashed a Miami hotel room.
Okay.
On a date we were on. I was taken on a date
mm-hmm.
to McDonald's.
Ew, I'm sick.
Girl.
Walking out.
Okay, well, do you have any places that you would like? I mean, obviously McDonald's
I'm sorry, no shade to McDonald's, but
Olive Garden. Like, you know how girls was like, oh, I'm not going to the Cheesecake Factory.
Right.
If someone took you to the Cheesecake Factory, would you?
I think it's a location thing, because if I'm home in Texas and someone takes me to these kinds of places, it's not the same thing as being here in LA. I don't want to sound all bougie because I'm bougie adjacent, but it's like if you do that stuff here, it's different. It's a different vibe.
Okay.
You know, it is.
All right. So back to the game. So my ex trashed a Miami hotel room.
Okay.
I was taken out on a date to McDonald's.
Sick.
And I also dated a reality star.
McDonald's is the lie.
Nope.
The hotel.
Nope.
I've
never dated a reality star.
Oh, I just assumed you did.
I fucked one.
Okay. I was like, for sure you dated one. Oh, I thought you did.
It's too close to home.
We're in the industry. So I assumed at some point you would have.
Oh, I actually, my ex did do that. Trash to Miami.
Wait, pause.
Yeah.
Somebody took you to McDonald's?
And then, yeah, I...
I'm sick.
So, okay, here's my thing. Remember on your podcast, and you guys got to go check it out.
Yay!
It's a great conversation. But I had said to you, I feel like I've never been in love.
Yes.
Where obviously in the past, in the situations, I thought I was in love. But then you grow up and you realize, oh, actually, I don't think I've ever been in love. And my reasoning is I've never been given what I give.
And
I
okay, feel like
you can love some.
Yeah.
I've loved every ex of mine. I've loved them.
Okay.
But to be in love with someone, it has to have that
reciprocity.
Flow and giving back and forth. So this man, we were actually kind of like I said, like, I want to see your friendship first.
Yeah.
We built this friendship. This was in New York, one of the first guys I talked to. We built this friendship, all this stuff. And he was like, wanted to take it further and was like, oh, like, we should go out sometime. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, this man was fine. Panamanian.
See, I was about to say, I know he had to be so fine.
I mean, fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have never worked because his piece was way too big.
No, not with me. Yes. Oh. I like my body part.
Yes. So he was like, all right, well, I'm going to pick you up.
Wait, he picked you up?
Girl, he picked me up.
I'm thinking he didn't pick you up.
Mind you, he was older than me too.
Okay.
He was older than me. And we drove to McDonald's through the drive.
No!
Through the drive.
No! Jesse, come on. I feel like you're fucking with me.
No, I'm so serious. And we sat in the parking lot, listened to 90s music, and ate McDonald's. And then he dropped me.
Jesse, what are you talking about?
And I was just like, now that I'm older, I'm like, maybe he was expecting, like, I don't know, like, to hook up in the car. I'm also just like,
I'm trying to make it make sense.
Like, one, we definitely not fucking. Like, you got me eating McDonald's. One.
Number one.
I'm not fucking you. Three, like, we're in the parking lot of McDonald's. Like,
so wow.
Like, did he want something of it? Was this just a genuine, like?
And he dropped you off after?
Well, like, we sat for hours, like,
okay, fine,
listening to music and relating. And then, yeah, it was like,
so confused by this. Yeah. This will never leave my brain.
No, McDonald's.
It will never leave my brain.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm not loving it.
Are we not loving it? Okay, purr.
Oh, purr. Okay, well, I appreciate you coming by and
sharing
your love life, your family life.
Thank you.
Because, you know, sometimes we just got to hear the stories of other people to know that we are not alone. And again, going back to your catchphrase, like, you're not alone.
Yeah.
What are you up to now? Like, I know you got the podcast going. Is there anything else that you want to share or where people can follow you and find you?
Yeah, you can find me on The Drea Renee on Instagram. And the podcast is everything. That's basically my boyfriend. Hey, babe, can we talk? Please go follow. Yeah, and it's just conversations about relationships, how to stay out of toxic relationships and build back up your self-worth. And I love it. It's my baby.
I love it.
It is so my baby. Yeah.
And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Just like, again, you've just always connected instantly the moment I met you, period. And yeah, your podcast is everything.
I love your
energy. And I love that you're using your life experiences to help others and creating a platform for that. And also helping yourself along the way.
Okay. And with no shame, that's the biggest thing, because I care so much at times, or I've cared, I should say, what people think. Like with every post, like, oh, what are they going to think? And I'm like, who cares?
Yes.
It's my art. It makes me feel good. And that's all that matters.
Period.
Period.
Boom. So until next week, peace.
Bye.
In the age of online dating, it's easy to get lost in the quest for external validation. Swiping left and right, hoping to find someone who fills the void. But before I can truly open my heart to another, I gotta learn to love myself. Each morning, I wake with gratitude, embracing my flaws and celebrating my strengths. I look in the mirror and affirm, I am worthy of love, deserving of happiness, and capable of giving and receiving affection. I acknowledge that self-love is not a destination, but a journey. A daily practice of nurturing my mind, body, and soul. I prioritize self-care, setting boundaries, and honoring my needs. Knowing that only when my cup is full can I pour into another's. I release the pressure to conform to society's standards of beauty or success, recognizing that my worth is inherent, not dependent on an external validation. I embrace my uniqueness knowing that it's my authenticity that will attract the right partner. In the vast sea of online profiles and connections, I remain anchored in my sense of self. I approach each interaction with curiosity and openness, knowing that every encounter is an opportunity for growth and connection. I let go of fear and insecurity, trusting in the universe's timing and believing that love will find me when I'm truly ready. I cultivate patience and resilience, knowing that the right person will appreciate me for who I am, flaws and all. So today I choose to love myself unapologetically. I trust in the power of self-love to light my path, guiding me towards a love that is deep, meaningful, and lasting. And I know you can too.